Entrepreneur Podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, again with another guest here for you. Keep in mind, we're also the world's first 24/7 internet radio station dedicated to tech startups and tech companies. Learn more down here in the show notes. And if you haven't done already, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button here. For everybody who's seeing this on YouTube, I'm sorry for the marks here on my forehead, but it's getting warm here in Germany and I was wearing a baseball hat during my afternoon walk, and actually it left some remains here. But nonetheless, I do have Alessandro here with me. Hey, how you doing?
Hello, I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here because you are actually the head of security at Bitwala, a Berlin-based challenger bank that offers swaps between fiat currency and cryptocurrencies, right?
That's correct, yes.
So let me first ask you outright, how can any sane person be wanting to be the head of security in a field related to cryptocurrencies? I mean, it's like sleeping in the middle of a minefield, isn't it?
Yes, indeed, it is. And when I decide to move at Bitwala, I'm of course in contact with other security practitioners in the industry, and most friends ask me, why you didn't even do that? Are you crazy? Yeah, definitely. I like challenge, I'm not considering this impossible, but yes, it's extremely difficult, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to take this challenge.
I see. So you like challenges. Can you tell us a little bit about what, like, basics to understand in cryptocurrencies? Because for many people, it's like normal currencies. You have them on your bank account, and if you don't grant anyone access to your bank account, everything's totally fine. But in cryptocurrencies, it can be totally different, because if your cryptocurrency is once gone, it's gone forever. No getting back, right?
I would actually also question the fact that your money is secure in the bank, in the sense that actually that money is guaranteed, especially in Europe, by an European scheme. So it's guaranteed by a central bank up to a certain amount. So that means that, let's say, over 100,000 euro, you might not even be sure that, that those deposits are guaranteed. I would say on the cryptocurrency side, you can see this from multiple perspectives. On one side, you can say that in certain situations, you can control your own finance, so you can actually make sure that that your money is under your control. On the other side, you might decide to store part of this finance in an exchange, or let's say to hand over the keys. In our case, the company I work for is non-custodian right now. That means that the customer can keep the secrets to move their assets. One of the downside of this is that, of course, you need to make sure that those keys are stored in a safe place. And in case you lose them, you won't be able to ask, for example, Bitwala to recover these funds. So you will have to make sure that you actually manage this correctly, and that you can actually own, let's say, all the information that are necessary to move these funds.
So basically, let us get some tips how to keep your keys safe, because I do believe if you display them in your living room, it's not most likely the most safe place, right? And you have to make sure that you never ever like really lose it, because that would be the problem. Then you can also not recover your cryptocurrencies, right?
Absolutely. And there are several ways to do it, and it also, of course, depends on the risk. Let's say security people, they like to talk about risk, and that's something that every person should say. So For example, I will not tell you there is one single solution for everybody. It depends on the amount of money. You might decide, for example, to so imagine, for example, that you have the equivalent of $1 million in Bitcoin, and you probably don't need to spend $1 million every day, right? So you don't need that kind of liquidity in your pocket. So it probably makes sense not to have that with you at every time, you know, and not to have the seed in a place, or let's say the secret in a place where it can be recovered by people who might know that you have so much money, or that you might want to get this information from you. So this is one first step. So also what we call operational security. If you do have a good amount, a big amount of liquidity, you should probably make sure that that the least number of people know about that, because there might be a situation in which you might be actually forced to hand over this the seeds or keys, or even if not handing over, to do a transaction, just because somebody might try to actually get hold of your funds. Personally speaking, I think, let's say, technically speaking, I consider that one of the best way to keep these funds is to save them on a wallet that you manage, for which you only have the secret keys. And the best possible way is, for example, a paper wallet. Yeah, a paper wallet still stored in a in a place where that you can trust, or maybe even shared among people that you trust. Let's say, imagine having a seed that you split among people that you trust, that they don't even have to know about the existence of each other. So you could split your secret in three and give it to your mother, for example, or your sister or your wife, and make sure that they hold the copy for you. This is the most paranoid version of it.
Yeah, I really like this. In cryptocurrencies, you have to have the highest level of paranoia, right? That's the thing. Basically, but when you're talking about like paper backups, like keys, keywords and stuff like this, you should have it on paper. Yes, of course, but not stored in just one place. You do a handful of photocopies and spread it between different locations, because if your house burns down, your money is also gone, right?
Absolutely. And it also depends on the amount of money. So let's say in the moment, imagine you are Elon Musk. And in this case, I don't know, you have this $2 billion or $1.5 billion that he invests in cryptocurrency. You know, imagine he has a seed in his pockets. I mean, I don't think so. I would recommend in the case to probably even consider custody solution. There are service provider where it might become worth actually handing over the seeds, I don't know, to a specialized company. But yeah, it's a nice challenge. And I would say for small investors, one of the most appropriate way is to store the vast majority of funds, for example, like we just said, on paper. And then maybe if they want to have some liquidity because they want to use it for whatever reason, they might consider putting part of it in wallets that they can carry on. Yeah, for example, like a Bitvala or a custody solution or another hardware wallet.
Mm-hmm. I see. Just to stay a little bit on the fancy side, what would you recommend for Elon Musk how he stores his cryptocurrencies? Because first, I would say he should split it up in multiple accounts and keep them safe in different ways and in different places. Would that be a good approach?
I mean, I will go also a little bit further for that amount of money, but yes, that will definitely be a good approach.
would be a good idea. I see. What do you guys are at Bitvala doing to keep your clients safe? Can you actually keep your cryptocurrencies with Bitvala, or do you have like a trusted partner who actually does this?
So let's say I will speak to what we have until today is actually one of the reasons why I found Bitvala interesting even before I joined, is that the current product that we provide are non-custodian. So that means that in the case of the Bitcoin wallet, it's a multi-signature wallet. which means that Bitvala technically is not able to move funds for the customer. So the customer holds the key to the assets. And for the Ethereum wallet, we also managed to use the non-custodial approach without a multi-signature wallet. So in this specific case, we're using what is called a secure enclave or a strong box, depending on if you have an iPhone or an Android. There are special components, special hardware chips that are shipped with every Android of the latest generation or every iOS. And we actually initialize the keys that are used to protect the wallet directly into the hardware. So that means that basically they cannot be extracted by an attacker. They cannot be extracted by, not even by what is called jailbreaking the phone or becoming root on the Android phone, because you actually need to perform much more advanced operation. And so it's considered to be quite secure. It really works good, I would say. So that's how we manage this currently.
Mm-hmm. I see. Do you have some other chips right now? Somebody out there looking to do some cryptocurrencies. Yeah, they know all the fancy stuff, yada, yada, yada. They should get a physical device, get it very secure, have paper backups, store them in different places, different safes, different vaults, and never tell anybody about it. Is this like the bottom line we're talking about? For like small amounts below 100 million euros?
Not really. I think I wouldn't even do that for that small amount. So this is let's say the I need to be honest on that. If I wanted to store 1,000 or 2,000 euro worth, I will just keep it either let's say on a wallet, even on a custodial one, and then decide to move it only in case let's say the relative price of Bitcoin becomes so high that that somebody might actually be interested in getting that. So the question in security, it's always what is the threat? So you have 1,000 euro in the pocket. Is there actually a potential threat that might cause you to lose this amount of money? And a private person in Germany that, let's say, he opens an account on an exchange or on Bitvala, for an amount of a few thousand euro, probably it's not really at risk of somebody, trying to get into his custodial or non-custodial wallet. If the amount of money becomes higher and the lifestyle starts changing, then probably I will consider a non-custodial solution only or paper wallet or, like we said, the paranoid scenario we had before. But for a small amount, I absolutely don't recommend it on a risk basis. Yeah. So if you, let's say, start investing 200 euro tomorrow and telling all your friends, hey, I bought 200 euro in Ethereum, and after a while you might expect this 200 euro to be worth 2,000, and these people, or this maybe on the street, or let's say people that are not actually in German Bekannter, so people
acquaintances.
Yes, acquainted. Might tell to somebody else, and the someone else might actually target you. Yeah, but it's a very unlikely scenario. I mean, I know of very few cases where this happened, and there is basically always a disparity between the paranoid use case and the actual possibility that this might happen to you. Yeah.
At least since my interview with a Munich-based startup, Tangany, who actually provides those custody solutions for other people, I know you're always on the safe side if you're in cryptocurrencies, at least a little bit paranoid.
Yes, you have to be. I mean, honestly, I recommend always to be a little bit paranoid. Even outside of the cryptocurrency, for example, when it's up to personal data, let's say, when you're opening accounts on the internet and you're sharing information about you. This might also involve your financial profile or information about whether or not you're trading with cryptocurrency. So then, you know, this company might then resell this information, and then it's always good to be a little bit paranoid.
Ah, I see. That is really good to know. Thank you very much for those tips. For everybody who'd like to learn more, down here in the show notes there will be a link to the Bitwala blog, and I do assume you guys also do have some tips on hands there, right?
Yes, we do provide information about, for example, how to customers can protect from phishing, or a customer can protect from certain type of fraud that we see in the industry. I think we're going to publish a new blog entry this week, which is related to remote screen sharing fraud, which is happening also outside of the crypto industry, and especially since Corona and COVID time started. So, yeah, we try to keep people informed also on our blog.
That's very good. Actually, talking about custodians, we've always used the term custodians for everybody who's living in an English-speaking country. Usually they know a custodian as some adult taking care of a child, but actually that's not the case. When we talk about custodian, we talk about, like, way back in the time when there were big banks and they had big vaults, and in those vaults you stored paper securities, and they've been the custodians of your securities. And coming from this, there are also crypto custodians who also tend to have big vaults, but actually the cybersecurity is much more important. You can, of course, learn more down here in the show notes, as well as the Bitwala blog. Alessandro, it was just a pleasure having you here for like a very short segment. Thank you very much, and hope to see you soon with some more paranoid tips in the future.
Thank you. It was nice as well.
Thank you. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.eu podcast, or check for the startuprad.eu internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.eu skill as well.